Masechta Bava Metzia Daf Kuf. We'll start the shir Bezer Hashem towards the bottom of Daf Tzadik Tes on Bez. The Gemara brings a story. Amar Rava Hanishkuloi. These movers, the Tavur Chavita de Chamru Lachanva, they broke a barrel of wine for his store owner. He was supposed to sell this barrel on the Yom Hashuk, the market day, for 5 zuzim. On any other day, it would be sold for 4. It has less value on the days that aren't Yom Hashuk, that aren't the market days. So the Gemara says, according to this Gersa that we're going to read, there are actually 3 Gersois, 3 Mahalchim to explain the Gemara, which we'll Beis Hashem will discuss. The first Gersa is Rashi. If they returned the Chavis of wine, the barrel of wine, on the Yom Hashuk, so they can actually return a barrel of wine, because they'll tell them, you could sell it for the full profit, you could sell it for 5. So we didn't cause you any hafsid. If they're going to pay back the storekeeper any day after the first Yom Hashuk that came around, let's say for example, the Yom Hashuk is Thursday, and they broke the Chavis on Monday. So if they pay back that Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or even Thursday, Yom Hashuk, where he could still sell it, so then they can pay him back a Chavis of wine. He'll sell it for 5. If they pay after the Yom Hashuk that came first, if they paid on Friday or the next Sunday, they're going to have to pay back 5. They cannot give back just a chavis of wine, because they'll say, if I had a chavis of wine before the Yom Hashuk, I could have sold it for a full profit for 5. I would have made 5 on this chavis. So now that you gave it to me Sunday, I could only make 4. Because people aren't going to buy it for 5, I don't have to wait till the next Yom Hashuk for payment. And if I would have had it before Thursday, I would have been able to make a full profit. I would have been able to make 5, and therefore you have to pay me back 5. And then Mark continues. We only say that he has to pay back 5 if the shopkeeper really was out of stock. He sold all his wine in Yom Hashuk, and therefore it's a clear indication that if he would have had that chavis as well, we can assume he would have sold that and made the full profit of 5. But if he was left with another, make up a number, 5 barrels of wine left, so he obviously didn't get rid of all those barrels of wine. He clearly wasn't selling out. In such a case, we're going to say that the shkuloi, the people that did damage to the chavis, don't have to pay back 5. They can give back a chavis of wine as well. As we see, he wasn't selling all his chavis. This mahalach is shared by Taisus as well. Taisus understands that until the first Yom Hashuk passes, he can pay with a chavis of wine. Once the first Yom Hashuk passes, he has to pay the higher price that he would have sold it for. As he claims, you cost me the hefset of the higher price. I would have sold it for a 5, and therefore you cost me a hefset of 5, unless Hitaka didn't sell all his chavis. However, the Rush argues on this svara. The Rush says if he didn't sell all his barrels of wine on this Yom Hashuk, so he'll sell it on the next Yom Hashuk. So what do I care if he has some wine left over? Well, Maisa, the damage is 5. As he could sell it on the next Yom Hashuk for 5. L'chayr, the Rush would hold that, of course, he could pay back with a chavis of wine, which, as Rush says, he has the potential to sell it for 5. However, the Rush is coming to argue on Rashi to say that he can't pay back 4. He has to pay back either 5 or a barrel of wine, which has the potential of selling for 5 in the next Yom Hashuk. However, Rashi takes his hold, once the first Yom Hashuk passed, you have to pay back 5, because we look at the potential gain that he lost, and therefore he doesn't have to accept a barrel of wine, which is only worth 4 on Sunday or Monday. He has to actually pay back 5. Now, as we said, according to Rashi, if it was broken on a Tuesday, where it's only worth 4, the halacha is that if they pay Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday before the Yom Hashuk finishes, where he could sell it, they can pay back a chavis of wine. If they miss the Yom Hashuk, they have to pay back 5 because of the potential revach, the potential gain that the meicher lost. Ask the ksais, where do we find such a thing that somebody has to pay, reimburse a nizik for potential gain that was lost? You never pay kiyukrid l'kamei for the higher price that's going to come later. The Mishnah says in Baba Kama, kol ha-gazlan ha-mashal m'kshasek zeilo. If Reuven steals from Shimon something that's worth $10 now, let's say he stole a barrel of wine, it's worth $10, and by the time he came around to do tshuva to pay, that barrel would be worth 20, but he drank it when it was worth 10. The halacha is he pays k'shasek zeilo. He doesn't pay what it's worth now when he comes to pay. So why over here does the Gemara understand, according to Rashi and Tosfos, that he has to pay for the unrealized potential gain of the Meicher? He should pay like the Shas HaShvir when it broke, which was four. He broke it on Tuesday, he should pay four. So the Ksais and Simon Dalal Shin answers that in a case where we know up front that the price is going to go higher, there's no question about it. There's a cycle. Today it's lower, tomorrow it's going to be worth more. We say that it's considered Dovra Garim L'mamay, and the Mazik, or the Ganav, is going to pay the higher price. He brings a riot from that, from the Gemara in Psachim, that if somebody eats Chometz of Hegdish on Pesach, which doesn't have any value, Chometz is Isuri Hano. Nevertheless, it's considered as if he did Mi'ilo, and the reason is because it's Dovra Garim L'mamay, because after Pesach, it's going to have a value. So the Ksais proves from there that we do look at a future value that's going to come about. Because we say it's Dovra Garim L'mamay, it's going to cause a loss of money, so that is considered itself money. We hold like the Chacham that Argun Rav Shimon in Perek Meruba and in the beginning of Psach and Dafei Amud Beis, the Gemara brings Machlekes whether we say Dovra Garim L'mamay K'mamin Dami, and we pass like the Chacham that we don't say that. So the Ksais says that's only regarding Kefal. The Machlekes Rav Shimon and Chachamim, somebody steals a carbon from his friend, so now his friend has to get a new carbon. The Machlekes says, does the Ganav have to pay kefal to the person who was stolen from? There, we hold Dovra Garim L'mamay Lav K'mamin Dami. Something that causes the loss of money is not considered like money itself. That's regarding kefal and other knosais, things that are extraneous of the actual value of the thing that was stolen. However, regarding somebody who steals something that's going to be worth more for certain in the future, that is considered Dovra Garim L'mamay, has a din of a garmi, and is chayv according to everybody. Since it's Bari Azeka, since it's going to definitely be a cause of loss to the person it was stolen from, we're going to say that this has a din of garmi and he's chayv. The Mishnah says, somebody steals, he pays like the value of the time of the stealing and not the future value that it goes up. That's only when it's not certain. When it's not 100% sure, when it's not Bari Azeka that the price is going to go up. So if the price happened to go up, nevertheless, the Gazlan is not going to have to pay more than the Shas HaGzela because it's not a clear garmi. It's not Bari Azeka. It's not for certain going to go up. But in the case where we know for sure it's going to go up, like Chametz on Pesach, that after Pesach it's going to be worth more, and our Gemara, we know for sure the Chavis of Yayin is going to be worth more by Yom Mashuk. In such a case, the Ksais asserts that the Ganav, the Mazik, will have to pay the higher price, as in such a case we hold Dovra Garim L'mamay is K'mam Dami, because it's the regular halacha of Garmi. It's Bari Azeka, it's for sure going to go up. In such a case, we say he's going to be Chayv. However, the Nesivus over here argues, the Nesivus says, of course there's no general rule that if somebody's Mazik something now, and we know the price is going to go up, that he's going to have to pay for the higher price. If that's the case, somebody who's Mazik Tfuah of his friend, so is it possible to say that the mazik has to pay what it's going to be worth when it's already made into a geirin, when it's ready to be sold? Of course not. It's worth much more than. The receiver says the raya from chometz of hegdish on Pesach that he has to pay for it because of its future price. The understanding is, according to the receiver, that it's like somebody who's mazik his friend's item in the midbar. Reuven has a expensive item in the desert. Nobody's going to pay anything for it. When he gets to the issue, when he gets to town, he could sell it for a lot of money. So, of course, we say that since the generally normal, accepted way of doing things is selling it further on in a different place at a different time, in such a case, we'll say that he has to pay the future price. Chametz, people do not sell on Pesach. It has no value. You can't sell it on Pesach. Therefore, Baal Karchacha, you're going to have to say that the price, the value for that chametz is what it's going to be sold for after Pesach. However, in our Gemara by the wine, truly, Yom HaShuk, it's worth more, and the storekeeper would rather sell it then, but people buy wine not on the Yom HaShuk as well. Therefore, we, of course, are going to value it today at its present value and not its future value. So the Nesivus rejects the Ksais's Mahalach that when something is going to, for certain, go up, we're going to charge the Mazik, the Ganav, the higher price, its future, more inflated price. He only accepts that when it's the derech to sell later on when it's not going to be sold now. Therefore, the real price is its future price. But when something can be sold now, although the price will certainly go up later on, we of course do not say that somebody has to pay the higher price. If that's the case, ask the Nesivis, how do we understand our Gemara? Why does he have to pay, according to Rashi and Tosfos, the higher price when he was Maziki? The Chavis, it was worth less. And the call is called Kazlon, Mishalm, Kshas, and Gzaila. Anybody who steals, anybody who is Mazik, pays the worth, the value of the item that he was Mazik, B'shas the Hezek, not its future price. So the Nesivis explains our Gemara in a totally different understanding. The Nesivis goes with a Mahalach that he writes actually in different Simanim as well. He writes about this in Simon Shinvav, he writes about this in Simon Kuf Pei Gimel. The Nesivis has a Yesoid that when a Poyel, when a worker, is being paid by a Balabai, somebody who hires him to do work, and because of the Poyel's lack of working, because of his negligence, because of something he did wrong, the Balabai loses a opportunity for a potential income. The halacha is that the poyel has to reimburse the balabayis for not only if he was mafsid him, but even for what he caused him a menias revach, for what he stopped him from making a profit. The Sivas bases it on the Shita of Rishayim, how they understand the Gemara in Ezra Neshech, and that by Indala, the Shita brings a Ravid that holds that if a poyel didn't do the work that he was supposed to do, and because of that, Bailam weren't marviach, the halacha is the poyel has to reimburse the Bailam for all the non-realized potential gain that he could have gotten. There's a takana. Im oivir v'lei avid eshalim b'meitva. The Gemara talks about if somebody tells the owner of a field, he's a sharecropper, he says, im oivir v'lei avid, if I won't work the field the way I made up, the way you hired me to do, I will pay you b'meitva, I'll pay whatever you would have expected to gain, and you didn't gain because of my negligence, I'll reimburse you for that. The Gemara is mashma that it's talking about a case where the sharecropper told to the balabayis that he's chayiv, it's not a smachta. The shita the receivers brings holds that it's not only where a worker tells it to the balabayis, rather it's a takon l'chachamim made that if somebody is hired by a balabayis to work, if he's a kablin, is not a secher yoyim, the halacha is that he has to reimburse the bailam for his lack of realized potential gain. Therefore, the Nesivus explains our Gemara. The Gemara says it's talking about hanush kuloy. It's talking about these movers were supposed to bring the chavis to the shuk to be sold on the day of the shuk. The Gemara doesn't use that example just for no reason. The reason the Gemara talks about shkuloi dafka is because they go into this category. They're hired to do work. They're paid by the balabayas to get a certain job done. And therefore, if they don't get the job done by their negligence, here they were pesheya, they broke the chavias with pshia, therefore the balabayas did not earn what he was planning on earning. Because of that, they go into the category of Oivir V'lei Avid, Shalom Meitvo. It's as if they promised the balabais they're going to reimburse him for the unrealized gain. And therefore, only over here in our Gemara do they have to pay the futuristic price, the price of the Yom HaShuk, as their poyelim of the balabais who are mischayev to reimburse him for unrealized potential gain. Okay, now let's get back to the Gemara. That was Shitas Rashi and Tosfos, as we explained it. However, the Rosh has a totally different understanding in the Gemara. The Rosh understands that what's important to us in determining how much the Mazik has to pay is the time that he broke it. If he broke it by Yom HaShuk, then he has to pay 5, because he was Mazik, something that's worth 5. If he broke it on a different day, we said the Yom HaShuk is Thursday, so if he broke it on Tuesday, he only has to pay 4, because that's its value on the day that he broke it. Now, with that premise, the Rosh explains the Gemara differently than the way we explain it according to Rashi. It's talking about the Shikulai broke the chavis of wine b'yom d'shuka. So on that day, its value definitely is 5. So the Gemara says, if they gave back the payment and money, so then they have to give back 5, as that's what it was worth the day of the Hezek. So there it won't make a difference whether they pay back yom d'shuka or not yom d'shuka. However, they want to give back wine. There the Gemara says, if they're paying back on the Yom HaShuk, then they can pay back a chavis of wine, because that chavis of wine is worth 5. You can sell it. However, if they pay other days, not on the Yom HaShuk, then they have to reimburse with money. They can't give a chavis of wine, because he doesn't want to hold on to it till the Yom HaShuk can sell it then. He says, I need money now. If you would have given it to me before the Yom HaShuk, or on the Yemeshuk, I would have sold it. I would have flipped it. I would have gotten the money for it. But now, I'm not interested in waiting. I need cash now, and therefore they have to pay back five. The Gemara then says, V'le'amoron el delesle amron lezvuni. He doesn't have other wine to sell. But if he has other wine to sell, boy, what does that mean? The Rush explains, based on the way he's learning the Gemara, that the idea is like this. That we said that he can bring chavis of wine to the Nizik to have it be sold on Yom HaShuk, and he doesn't have to give him five, instead he could just give him a chavis as the Nizik will sell it. That's only if on the Yom HaShuk the Nizik doesn't have any other wine to sell, so there's no question he'll be able to sell this in a jiffy. However, if there are other chavis of wine that the Nizik has, he'll say, I don't know if I'm going to be able to sell all the different chavis. Don't bring me another chavis to sell. I have my own chavis that I need to sell. Therefore, the Nizik could say, I refuse to take a chavis of wine as payment, and you'll have to pay me back with money. Right, that's Shitas Harosh. And the third Shita in the Rishayim, the third approach, is the Shitas Harif and the Rambam, that they actually have a different gears in the Gemara. Our gears is, if they gave it to him by Mashuk, they can give him a Chavis of Yain, and if they pay him other days not in Yom HaShuk, they have to pay five. The Rambam's gears is, if by Mashuk, they can give back wine. Other days, they can pay back four. The Rosh writes on that, V'leidati Lafarsh, I don't know how to explain Shitas Harif or Rambam. The Maaseh's explanation in the Rif and the Rambam is that you could always pay back wine. That's how they're understanding the Gemara. That's what they broke. That's what they can pay back whenever they'd like, Yom HaShuk or not Yom HaShuk. However, if they want to pay back money, so then it makes a difference the day that they're paying. If they're paying on the Yom HaShuk, since the value of the chavis of wine on that day is five, so they can either pay back a chavis of yain or they can pay back five. That's what the value of what they're paying is on the day of payment. It doesn't matter when they broke it. You always are done the day of payment. So therefore, if they're paying back on the day of the Shuk, the market day, so then the yain is worth five, they can either give back a chavis of yain, or they can pay five. If they're paying on a different day, not on Yom HaShuk, they can pay four, because that's what the value of wine is, the day of the Tashlumen. A random Tuesday, that's not Yom HaShuk, the value of the chavis of wine is four, and therefore they only have to pay four, or they can pay a chavis yayin as well. And that the Gemara says, that they have to pay five on the Yom HaShuk, that's only if he sold all his wine. But if he didn't sell all his wine, the same idea as Rashi, you see clearly they weren't mafsid in five, its value is four, and therefore they only have to pay back four. Now, that the Rambam holds that he pays five on the day of the Shuk, if he's paying back with money, even if he broke it when it wasn't Yom HaShuk, he broke when it was worth four, nevertheless, he has to reimburse him with five, because we only make the cheshbon of what it's worth the day that he's paying back. Ask the Sma, by Gzela, the rule is, Kol HaKazlon HaMashal Mekshas HaGzela. If someone steals from his friend an item, and the value of the item went up, nevertheless, the Gazlan just pays the value of the item when it was stolen, if it's not Be'en, if it's not around. Why here do we say that he has to reimburse the Baal Hayayin for more than it was worth the day that it was broken? So the Sma says it's different. Over there he's a Gazlan, so he has to reimburse him for what he took the day of the Gneva. However, over here, he's a Mazik. He's a Pesheya, and therefore he pays. Not because he took the Yain out of the Baal Zashus, rather he damaged it, and therefore he has to reimburse him. So when he's reimbursing him with the Yain, we don't care what it was worth at the time of the breaking, we care what it's worth at the time that he's paying him back. Because when he's paying back for Nizakin, when he's reimbursing him for the damages that he did, the idea is to mashlim the hefsid, to reimburse the Nizak for the loss that he had. He's replacing the wine. So what do I care what it was worth b'shas the Gneva? I only care b'shas the Tashlumen when he pays what it's worth. However, the Ksais is very upset with this. Ksais says there's a Mechurish, a Mishnah, not like that. At the end of Parakam Mafkid, it says clearly that according to Beis Hillel, a Shemer that was negligent in his Shmira, he has to reimburse the Mafkid at the rate of the time of the damage. Now, getting back to the Shitas HaRambam, as we mentioned, the Rambam holds that we have to value the Chavis, what it's worth, the day of Tashlum, and not the day it got ruined. Therefore, if he's paying back Yom HaShuk, he has to pay back with five. If he's paying not Yom HaShuk, he pays back four. The Nesivos writes that according to the Rambam, of course, this is only if he paid back before the first Yom HaShuk came around. But if the first Yom HaShuk came around and the price went up to five, even though the next day it dropped down to four, he can't get away with just paying him back four. just as he was said according to Rashi, as he was explains, because if he would have paid on the Yemeshok, let's say Thursday, he would have had to pay five. It's now because he was more negligent, he was more of a Pesheya, and he didn't pay back on time, he waited till the next Monday. We're going to say he should gain and not pay the full price that was due on Thursday. The Siva says it's very not logical, and therefore, once the first Yemeshok passed by, of course he's going to have to pay five, not four. However, the way the Sma explained that the idea of Teshlumin Izakin over here is just to reimburse him for the wine that he doesn't have. So since Lamaisa, even though true, he was wrong to wait, but the fact is he's reimbursing him now with wine, or the value of the wine, which is four. True, if he would have reimbursed him Thursday before on the Yom HaShuk, he would have had to pay five, but since, according to the Rambam, we go by the day of Teshlumin, he'll have to just pay what the wine is worth, and therefore one could argue on the Nesivos and say that even if it passed the first Yom HaShuk, he's going to have to pay only the value of the wine that day, which after the Yom HaShuk is only four. Now just one more point on this sugi before we move on to the Mishnah. The last one the Gemara says that even when the person pays for the hezek that he did to the balachavis, the person who owns the wine, he still take off from the final price that he's going to pay the agar tircha, the value of the tircha that it would be for the meicher to sell. Well, what happened is he has this chavis of wine and he sells small bottles or cups to many different customers. He makes pruta, one bit and then another bit, until it adds up to the value of the whole chavis. That reaches 5 zuzim or 4 zuzim, not on the Yom HaShuk. So when the mazik has to pay, he takes off the dmei tircha, the amount of money that the Baal HaYayin would be willing to acquiesce not to have to sit there and sell it to all the different customers. He would take a cut of, let's say, 10% in order not to have to sit there and sell to one, then another one, then to another person. That he takes off of the final price. And the dmei baras nyasa, the value of what it costs to make a hole in the chavis to get the wine out, that also he deducts from the final price. The Ksais asks a peldik akasha on this. It's mashma from the way we just explained the Gemara, the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that the only way he'd get the full price of 5 on Yom HaShuk or the 4 not on Yom HaShuk is when he sells it retail. He sells to many different customers, he'll finally hit that level of 5. Clearly, if he would sell it wholesale, it would be somewhat cheaper. Let's say on Yom HaShuk, where it normally is 5, that's if he sells it retail. If he sells it wholesale, he'll only sell it for, let's say, 4.5. He'll be willing to deduct a significant amount of the value of the chavis to be able to sell in a one shot as a wholesale sale. If that's the case, ask the Ksais. We learned earlier on the Amud, in the case of Chavitza de Tamri, that when there are two prices, when there is a wholesale price and a retail price to a particular object, the halacha is a gazlan only has to pay the wholesale price, the cheaper price. So why over here do we tell the shkuloi that they have to pay the full retail price, where in fact earlier in the Amud, the Gemara clearly said when there are two prices, the mazik or the gazlan has to pay the cheaper price. So the Ksai says an incredible, incredible chiddush to answer this. He says that's only by a gazlan or a mazik do we say that he pays the lower price. By a shomer, the Ksai suggests, is different. As he says, the chiyuvoi al asher lo shomrei. The chiyuv is not for the damage to the object. Rather, the chiyuv is for not watching it. Therefore, he has to pay the higher price, the retail price, because he's not paying for the value of the wine that he caused the mafke to lose. He's paying for not watching it, and thus causing the hefsid to the balachovis, to the mafkid. According to the Ksais, he's going to be responsible for the indirect hefsid, for the loss of gain, of profit, due to his negligence of shmira as well. It's an incredible chiddush, but that's what it says here in the Ksais. And therefore, he's going to have to pay the full 5, because that is what the owner, what the mafkid, could have actually made. The Ksais Lamaisa is writes at the end of the piece of Tzarachian, but the Ksais Lakabon is suggesting that a shamer is going to have to pay for the lack of profit of the mafkid, not just for the lower price, for the wholesale price of the wine. Let's move on to the Mishnah, Daf Kuf Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Amachlef por b'chamor v'yoldo, somebody switched through Kenyan Chalipin his cow with his friend's donkey, and it had a child. We don't know if it had the child before the sale was consummated, before there was a Kenyan, or only afterwards. And the question is, then, who owns this Vlad? Who owns the calf of the Parah? If the mother was still in the possession of the original owner of the Bala Parah when the cow gave birth, so then it belongs to the Bala Parah. If the Leda, if the birth happened only after the Kenyan, then it belongs to the Bala Hamar. So the Mishnah says, Yechlaiku. Likewise, if somebody sold his Shivcha to his friend and gave birth to a child, to an Eved, the question is, who owns that child? Again, the Mishnah says, Yechlaiku, in such a case, they're going to split it evenly because we don't know, it's a Safek. Ask the Gemara, Amai Yechlaiku, why would you split it? Let's see where that Vlad is situated right now. Let's see where the child of the Shivcha, where the Eved, is at that point. If it's in the Rishos of the Meicher, so we'll say the Meicher keeps it. If it's in the Rishos of the Lekech, we'll say the Lekech keeps it. Whoever is holding it is a Mochsik. So the Gemara answer is talking about by Medes Ba'agam. It's standing in a marsh. It's not in a Rishos that belongs to either the Meicher or the Lekech. Likewise by the Shivcha. So therefore, nobody's a muchzik, and that's what I'm going to say, Achleiku. Asks Taisus, what's the Gemara's kash of lech b'shus of the mankaim? Let's see where the calf is situated, and we'll say, I'm v'araya, because wherever the calf is, the owner of that area is going to be a muchzik. Asks Taisus, the rule is, in Perek Cheska Sabbatim, by Gaidres, by animals that move around by themselves, we say there's no chazaka by merely having it in one's Rishus. They move around. There's no raya, there's no hoichacha that it belongs to the Baal HaRishus, whoever owns that area, just because the animal's there. It could be the animal moves around and came to your property without you actually owning it. Therefore, ask Taisus, why does the Gemara imply that if it was in the Rishus of the Lekeach that he would win this the entire because he's a mochzik? Hagadish Hanam Chazaka. The mochzikos on a animal is not going to be considered a mochzik because the animal can get there by himself. Now, before we get to Taisus's teretz, the teretz of the Ritva and the Ran L'chair is very posh to the teretz, very straightforward. The Ritva and the Ran answer that. That the Gemara says a Gerdus Haylam Chazaka, that's talking about a case where we know that Reuben owned particular animals. And one day, we find the animals in Shimon's Rishus. So Shimon says, listen, I'm a Muchzik. I have them in my Rishus. They're mine. In such a case, we say a Gerdus Haylam Chazaka, there's no raya by the fact that it's sitting in your Rishus that it belongs to you. We know at one point it belonged to Reuben. And you just want to say by the virtue of the fact that it's in your Rishus you own it, that's not enough of a proof. However, in a case where we know there was a sale, there's no question there was a sale of the mother from Reuven to Shimon, from the Baal Parah to the Baal Hamor. The whole question is, at what point did this happen? Before the birth or afterwards? In such a case, Muchzik will be a determining factor as to where we keep the Vlad. It's not that he's coming to you, Muchzik, and Reuven's Parah by saying, look, it's in my Rishos. This Vlad was never Reuven's for certain to begin with. It's possible it was sold together with the mother. So therefore, we're going to say Muchzik will be Koveya, will determine where the Vlad stays. However, Taisus doesn't answer that. As we said, Taisus gives a different teretz. Taisus answers, of course, generally we say Gaidres and Lema Chazaka, that an animal that moves around is not going to be considered belonging to the person whose Rishus we find it in, because it's passing around by itself. However, that's in a regular case, where you see an animal, you don't have to start clarifying who does it belong to. So, since there's no drar de mamayna, the muchzik of having it in one's rishus, there's no suffix b'faneinu, there's nothing that is ma'irer that arouses by us a suffik. You see an animal, why should I think who does it belong to? Therefore, the muhsikos of the person who owns the property that the animal is in is not going to be considered a valid muhsik to allow him to keep the animal. Masha enkin, in our sugi over here, there is a drar d'amayna. Anybody who watched the story knows that there's a real concrete suffik. Nobody really knows what happened. It's not out of the blue or clarion. We're wondering, who does this Vlad belong to? There's a real suffik that went on over here. In such a case, even by goydrus, even by animals, we're going to say that whoever has it in the rishus is going to be considered a muhsik. However, Taisus gives one provision to that. Taisus says, that's provided that the lekach is saying, barely, I know for certain that it was born before the kinyan happened. But if he's a shema, if he's not sure, Taisus asserts that the muhsik, that he has it in his rishus, will not prevail to be considered a muhsik to allow him to keep it by himself. Now, the reason is, l'chayr, the way the Rush was brought down in the Shita explains that when somebody's tying Shema by a Tfisa, it won't make him a muhsik, at least according to some Rishonim. Really, it's based on a famous Taisus in Ksubas Daf Chaf. Taisus there asks a steer from the Sugya in Ksubas where there's a musig of being Toifes, and the person stays a muhsik, and we find, asks Taisus, the Sugya in Bab Metzia Dafov, by Takvei Kayin, where somebody grabbed the Safik Bechor, the Gemara says that since it's a Safik, Maitzin Mimenu, the Tfisa, that they grabbed the Safik, does not keep him as a status of a Muchzik, and therefore he has to return it. So Taisus asks, in one place we find, in Ksubis, by a Safik, if a Shtar is a proper Shtar or not, that Tfisa does help. And we find the Bamatziah Davav, the Tfisa does not help Misafik. So there are different Mahalchim and the Rishayim to explain the Stira. One teretz is, there's a difference between Tfisa Kaidim Shanayi L'Safik or Tfisa La'ach Shanayi L'Safik. If somebody makes a Tfisa before we're aware of the Safik, that Tfisa will be valid, and that's what the Gemara in Ksubas and Dav Chaf is talking about. Whereas if somebody knows about the Safik and nevertheless goes ahead and makes a Tfisa after the Safik is known, that will not help. That's why on Bab Metzia Daf of Tfisa does not help by the case of Safik Bechor. Taisus gives another teretz. Taisus says the difference between the two Gemaras is in Ksubas, where the Tfisa helps, it's talking about that the person who grabbed it is Tayin Bari. He says, I know for sure I deserve what I grabbed. It belongs to me. Therefore, it will help. However, in the case of Safik Bechor, where nobody knows whether it really belongs to him or not, he's just figuring, I can give it a shot like anybody else. He's a tainas shema. He's not sure, but he's grabbing it to figure out what could hurt. In such a case, the tisa will not help. But tisa with a tainas shema doesn't help. That's what Taisus L'chayr is referring to over here when Taisus says that even though the keh is a muhsik misafik, if he's tainas shema, it won't help. And the rest clearly says, if he was tainas shema, it'll just be like the case of Safik Bechor and Davav, that he'll have to give it back. That's why Taisus writes that the Lekech is Taining Bari, he's certain that the Para gave birth after the Kinyan was made. And once we mentioned already the two Terutzim and Taisus, how do you explain the Stira, whether Tfisa helps or not, between the Gemara and Ksubis and the Gemara in Bav Metzia? I'll mention the third Shita is Shitas Ramban, that Tfisa never helps, even if it's Kaidim Shanela Sofik, and even if it's a Tainas Bari. When do we say Tfisa helps? That's only the case in Ksubas by a Safik Shtar. There's two Eidim that say it's a kosher Shtar, two Eidim say it's a not kosher Shtar. By Trey, such a Safik, there Tfisa helps because he can rely on the two Eidim that testify in his favor. However, any other Safik, Tfisa will not help. The Kudsha Sfakis asks on this sheet of the Ramban, and how will the Ramban explain the Gemara's Kash over here? Velechzi, Rishus the Man Kaima. And whoever is Rishus, the Vlad is in, will be considered a Tafis, he'll be a Muchzik. According to the Ramban, Muchzik never works unless it's the Suffolk of Trey Trey. According to Taisus, as long as he's tiding Bari, or if it's Tfisa Kaidim Suffolk, matters which Teretz you subscribe to, but it's possible to have a Tfisa that works. However, according to the Ramban, Tfisa never works unless it's a Suffolk of Trey Trey, even if it's Kaidim Shanel Suffolk, and even if it's with a Tainas Bari. If that's the case, what's the Gemara asking? Lechzi, Beshus of the Man Kaiman, he should be a Muchzik, Tfisa that won't help anyways. So the Kudrat Sfeikis in Klal Beis Simon Gimel really explains when the Gemara asks over here. We're going to go Basar Muchzik because of the Tfisa. According to the Ramban, what the Gemara means to ask is not because of a Tfisa of a Safik, which will give him a status of a Muchzik. As we said, the Ramban doesn't hold of that. However, what the Gemara means according to the Ramban is that since he's tithing Lekuach, he got the mother through a transaction. And he's saying that together with the mother came the Vlad. In such a case, because there's a deal that definitely happened regarding the mother, that will carry over to the Vlad as well. That's really what we mentioned earlier from the Ran and the Ritva, that the reason the Gemara understands that Muchzik will work, even though Behema is Geider, is because over here the question is whether it's included in the transaction that definitely transpired. The question is this part of the transaction or something extraneous? Over there, the Muchzik will work. Therefore, the Ramban holds normally Tfisa doesn't work in such a case where the question is just was it part of the Mekach, in such a case, it definitely will work. Now, making our way back to Taisvis that we started with before, Taisvis says the only way we'll let the Lekach keep the Vlad because of his Tfisa, as it says in the Gemara, is only in a case where Lekach is tining Bari. As we mentioned from the Rosh, that Taisus and the Rosh are of the opinion that Tfisa only works when the Taifus is a Bari. Now Taisus really asks on himself. Taisus brings a Gemara in Bukhairis that Reuven was mafkid a behema, a tle, by Shimon, the Baal Bais, and Shimon had his own tle as well. He had his own sheep as well, and one of the sheep died. Shimon, the Baal Bais, the Nifkat says to the mafkid, I don't know, it could be mine, it could be yours. Allah has a mitzvah of Erel V'raya. And Shimon doesn't have to pay Reuven. Shimon's a muchzik. And therefore, mitzvah of Erel V'raya. Shimon's a shema, he doesn't know. Nevertheless, we say that his tfisa, his muchzikais, helps. So Taisus explains the reason it helps over there, even though he's only a shema, is because at one point he definitely owned a live sheep. So since he has a stronger taina, stronger claim, he definitely once upon a time owned a live sheep. The suffix is, does he still own the live sheep, or is the sheep that died his? In such a case, even though he's only tining a shema, he's going to be able to keep it. It's a stronger machzakos, the way Taisus understands. However, over here, if the lekech is tining a shema, he doesn't know that at one point he owned this vlad. The whole thing's a suffix. Therefore, unless he's going to taina that he knows for sure that the Vlad was born after the Mekach, he won't be able to win with the Muchzakos based on a taina of Shema. Now, the Kuntra Tzfekis has a hard time understanding what Taisus writes. Taisus, as we said, explained that by the case of the Tle by the Baal Bais, one of the sheep died. We say even though the Baal Bais is only a Shema, he keeps his own Tle. And that's because, even though he's a Shema, since he had a Tlechai, he had a live sheep originally, so that gives strength to his Muchzakos. Ask the Kuntra Tzfekis, you don't have to come onto the Bechlal, even without that. Since there's no Cheskes Morakama to the Mafkid, we don't know if this Tle belonged to the Mafkid originally. When there's no Cheskes Morakama, when you're not taking away from anybody, so of course whoever's toughest in something is going to win. The only time we say that Tfisa doesn't work because it's a Taina Shema or because it's Lachshon El Sofek, whenever there's any real question and somebody does a Tfisa and we say the Tfisa doesn't work because it doesn't fit into the parameters of a valid Tfisa, that's only when you're going against a Morakama. But if there's no Morakama, by the mere fact somebody is a Muchzik, a toughest, that of course is going to work. The man that says Tfisa doesn't work is only when it's going against the Morakama. But if there's no Morakama in the picture, there's no reason to say that the Tfisa, the Muchzakos, shouldn't work. Therefore, says the Kuntra Tzfekis, because he doesn't understand why Taisus has to say such a lamdus, because he had a varech, tlech chai meikar, he definitely had a sheep that was alive originally. That's why we say the Tfisa together with the Shema is strong enough for the Nifkat, for the Baal Bais, to keep the remaining tlech that's alive. Ask the Kuntra Tzfekis, even without that, Muchzakos holding on to it will be more than enough, since there's no Cheskes Morakama, there's no party that's fighting with him that can lay claim that he at one point certainly had bilus on this tleh that they're arguing about. There's no moral comment involved. It's just a regular case of who's the bilin. In such a case, of course, Muxakos will be enough. I'm getting back to Taisus. Taisus says that the reason the Taina Shema of the Nifkad will suffice is because he once had a sheep that was alive for certain. So Mecha Taisus to say that he has to give something up, he can say that Tle that he originally had is the one that's alive now as well. And since he has a reasons to strengthen his muchsakos, because he once upon a time had a live sheep, and now he's a tofus, that's enough to have him keep the tleh through his muchsakos, even though it's only a tiny shem. Now, taking this logic a step further, Taisus says, therefore, we're only going to say that a tiny shem won't work if the lekeach is tiny shem. However, if the meicher is tiny shem, and he's a muchsak, the Vlad is in the Rishos, in such a case, of course, the Meicha will win. Why? Just like before we said that if he has some backing to his Tfisa, even though the Tfisa is with a Shema, but there's something to strengthen it, he's going to win. He'll be considered a Muchsik. Likewise, since the Paro was pregnant in his Rishos, true, it's not a real Cheskas Marakama, he never owned the Vlad, but since it was a quasi-ownership, when it was in the mother's stomach, and he was Bailam on the Parah at that point, therefore, it's going to strengthen his Muxakos, even though he's only Tining Shema. Although Taisus points out that it's not an exact comparison to the case of the person who was Mafkid, a Tleh, by the Balabayas, we mentioned earlier, because the case of the Balabayas of the Tleh, that Taisus says the reason his Muxakos works with the Shema is because he definitely once had a Tleh that's alive, so that Svara carries over to strengthen Muxakos. There, it's a much more pashut Svara that the Muxakos or the Baal Bayis is going to help. He, at one point, owned a definite live Tleh. Over here, it was just an Uber. It's much less of a Taina. Nevertheless, Taisus holds it will suffice to strengthen the Muxakos. The fact that he once was a quasi-Bailam on this Vlad, that will say that even though he's coming with a Taina Shema, it's enough of a Hiros balance, it's enough of a Tfisa, enough of a Muxakos to allow him to keep it, even with a Taina Shema. So to summarize, Taisus holds, Geiris don't have any Chazakas, the Gemara says in Cheskas Abatim, an animal that finds itself in somebody else's Rishus is not going to be a Hechocha, is not going to be a proof that the person whose Rishus it's in is the Bailam. Not only that, even if the Baal Rishus Taina's Bari, it's his, it won't help. However, if there's a drar de maimna, like an hour sugya, there's a real suffix to bez, and it's not clear, there's a question what happened, in such a case with a tainas bari, the muchsik will help. Not only that, gaidris, where there's a drar de maimna, and it's a strengthened muchsikos to one of the tzadim, like the case of the balabayas, he's given a pikadon, a tleh, and he has his own tleh, and one of the tlehs died, here it's a case of a drar de maimna, there's a real suffix what's going on. There's no riot from the fact that it's in his Rishus that he's the Bailam. Nevertheless, since at one point he definitely owned a Tleh Chai, there was a definite earlier Muxakos, even though it doesn't necessarily relate to this Tleh, still it's a stronger Muxakos, and therefore even by a Shema it will work. That's the synopsis of the Tais that we just mentioned. Now the Ksais in Simon Reish Chav Gimel and Shesh Shmaitza Dalid Perik Yud asserts that it should come out from Taisus clearly that the only way we'll say if the Vlad is in the Rishus of the Lekeach is only if he is Tining Bari. The Lekeach says, I know for certain that it was worn when it was in my Rishus already. However, if it's a Shema, Taisus holds, the Muxakos will not help. It'll be Yachleiku. In the Shulchan Aruch, though, when this Halacha is brought, the Shulchan Aruch makes no difference. It's based really on Shitas Rambam. The Rambam does not differentiate as to whether he said a Bari or a Shema. Even if Lekeach is Muchzik and is B'Shema, it's Mashmah from the Rambam that he keeps it. Now really, that's the Mashmos of the Gemara B'Stoma. The Gemara says, V'lechzi B'Rishus Adman Kaimo. Let's see whose Rishus it's in. He'll keep it. The Gemara doesn't differentiate between Bari and Shema. Well, Kolpanim, Taisus held as a Pashtus Svara that if it's in the Rishus Lekeach, he has to be tining a Bari. The Rambam disagrees. What's Pshat in this Machlokes? So the Ksais and the Shmaitza say that the Rambam is Lashitasa. The Rambam holds Tfisa helps by Sveika Dedina. There's a Safek Halacha had a pasuk, and one person grabbed it. When he makes a Tfisa, he's not doing a Bavada, he's not smarter than Chachmei Gemara. He doesn't know what that Halacha is. Nevertheless, even though he's a Shamo, Tfisa works. That's Shitas Rambam. Therefore, there's no reason to be machalik. There's no reason to differentiate between whether the lekech is a bari or a shema. Shema works with a tfisa just as well as a bari. That's Shitas Rambam, however. Taisus, as we mentioned earlier, holds that tfisa with a shema does not work. In a case of Safek Bukhar, since he's a shema, we're going to say that the tfisa does not work and he has to give it back. That's why Taisus is forced to explain our Gemara over here that the lekech is saying a bari, that it was born when it was in his possession and not just b'shema. Rabbi Kivager in Simon Reish Chav Gimel actually brings a shittas haramach, that's the shittas brings down, that argues in Taisus and holds that if the lekeach is a muchzik, even if he's tining shema, as long as the meicher is tining shema as well, the muchzikos of the lekeach will prevail and the lekeach will be able to keep it. However, if the meicher is a bari, and lekech is a shema over there, the Ramach already is mistapik, a bari of a meicher against a muchzik and a shema of a lekech. There, it's not clear to him what the halach will be. However, Rikveger is medayik from the riff in the rush that even in such a case, the exact opposite of Taisus, even where the meicher is a bari and the lekech is a shema since he's muchzik, he will be able to keep the vlad. As they hold the tefisa with the tainah shema, will work as well. Now let's get back to the Gemara. The Gemara, as we said, explained the Mishnah. It's talking about, it's in Agam, the Vlad is not in the Rishus of either the Lekeach or the Meicher. Nobody's a Muchzik, and therefore, the Mishnah says Yechleiku. Ask the Gemara, I have another reason not to say Yechleiku. I have another reason, another way to determine the halachic status of this Vlad without saying Yechleiku. We don't know, Taka, at what point the Vlad was born, but there is a Cheskes Marakama. There was an original ownership of this Vlad. True, was in the state of being an Uber. It wasn't born as a Vlad yet. Nevertheless, there was some sort of a bialus the Meicher had in relation to this Vlad. Therefore, let's say he has a Cheskes Marakama, and that will determine that the owner will be considered the Meicher. Why do we say Yachleiku in the place of a Cheskes Marakama? So the Gemara answers, Homani Sumchasi. Domar Mamra Mutab Safik Cholkin Enachanami. According to the Chacham, they always say, Moise Mechavarel Varaya, Cheskes Marakama is enough of a reason to say that the Meicher is going to be considered by Lamanov to say that he keeps it since there's a Safik. However, according to Sumchas, that says, Momen Amutha Basavik Cholkin, remember there's something about money, we say Achleiku, unless there's a clear reason to give it to one of the parties. So true over here, there's a Cheskes Marakama, but that's not enough of a reason to stop us from saying Achleiku. Now, in Taisus de Ramaschal Hamani, Taisus points out that the Gemara didn't answer, Elo Hamani Sumchasi. The Gemara didn't recant from the original Ukimta from saying that the Mishnah is talking about the Vlad is an Agam. The Gemara stayed with that. It's talking about it standing in an Agam. Nevertheless, the reason we don't say Cheskes Marakama is because we're going according to Sumchas. But Sumchas still needs it to be in an Agam that nobody should be a Muchzik in order to pass Yachlaiku. The Rashbam is medayik from the fact that the Gemara didn't say Elo, that Sumchas would hold if it was in the Rishus of either the Meicher or the Lekeach, in such a case, Sumchas is also made the Meitzim Mechaveril Varaya. He only says his rule of Maman Amutha Basavik Cholkin in a case where nobody's a Muchzik. You want to say that one of the parties should win because of Cheskes Marakama. At that point, Sumchas says, no, Maman Amutha Basavik Cholkin, you're going to divide it equally. But if somebody's actually a Muchzik, Sumchas would also be made the Meitzim Mechaveril Olav Haraya. However, Taisa has a cash on that. We learned the Mishnah 3 blad ago, that if a masker rented a behema to a seicher and he lent him, he was mashal from a different behema, one of the animals died, ba'inus, the question is, was it the she'ula mesa or the schura mesa? In a case where the masker slash mashal says, ein yedeya, if it's the she'ula that died or the schura that died, and the seicher says, as well, I don't know which behemoth died, the Mishnah says, yechleiku, and the Gemara says, why do we say yechleiku? I might smech amir alvarai. And the Gemara says, it's going according to somchas, who holds Mamana Roth Basavik Chalkin. Ask Tysus, what do you mean? According to what we just said, that Somchas needs it to be that nobody is a muchzik in order to implement this halacha of Mamana Roth Basavik Chalkin over there. You don't have a bigger muchzik than that. The Seicher is holding on to his money. Nevertheless, we say he has to pay half the value of the behemoth because Somchas holds Mamana Roth Basavik Chalkin. What do you mean? We just said that whereas a muchzik, we don't say this rule. The Tysus answer is that we just said that Somchas holds that the seicher has to pay half, even though he's a muchzik, that's only where he tied in the Shema. If he's saying, I don't know which animal died, so therefore his muchzikos is a shvach, it's a weak muchzikos, therefore we say that Sumchus will hold in such a case, Mano with Basav Kalkin. However, over here, the Gemara is talking about that the Likeach and the Meichar are saying Bari. Each one says for certain they know when the Vlad was born. And Tysus adds more that's the reason the Gemara had to say it's talking about standing in an agam. And nobody's a muchzik, because Tysus says, according to what I held before, that if it's in the Rishus of the Lekeach, and the Lekeach is timing Shema, he still wouldn't win. That's not considered a muchzik, because he's a toughest with the Shema. Tysus' shita is that's not considered a tvisa. So the Gemara could have answered, the reason we don't say muchzik is because it's by the Lekeach, but he's a Shema. The Gemara didn't answer that because the Gemara wants to say that our Mishnah is talking about a case where they're both saying Bari. And still the halacha is Yechleiku. Why? Because it's standing in an aga. Al Kolpanim, Taisa says, we see clearly from our Gemara that the Gemara wants the Mishnah to be talking in a case where the Lekeach and the Meichar are Bari. So Taisa says, if it's talking about where the Meichar and Lekeach are Bari, in such a case, if either one was a Muchzik, there'd be no question that Simchas would be Meidah that might Simchai Rel Varaya. A muchzik and a bari, Sumchas doesn't argue over there. Only left tzaddik zayin, Sumchas argues even though he's a muchzik, because he's only a shema. He says he doesn't know which one died, either the schur or the shula. Therefore, Sumchas says yachleiku. Taisus afterwards continues and asks Akasha, why does the Gemara have to say, the reason we don't go after Cheskes Marakam and give it to the Meicher, because the Mishnah is going according to Sumchas. According to the Chachamim, we taka would give it to the Meicher, because of Murakam, which is the Mishnah is going according to Sumchas. Frek Taisvis, I'll tell you why we say Yechleiku and we don't give it to the Meicher. It could go even according to the Chachamim. Why don't we go Basar Murakam? Because against the Murakam, I have a different Chazaka. I have a Cheskas Meuberes, which pushes off the lay that says Hashdehi the Yolder. Normally, by every Chazaka to Meikara, we say that it stayed in its current status, and the change happened as late as possible. So true, the Cheskas Marakama tells us that it was born before the sale happened. Nevertheless, the Cheskas Meuberes tells us that it was pregnant and it stayed pregnant, and the Leda transpired at the latest point possible, which would be after the Mechira. So when the Gemara asks, we should go Basar Cheskas Marakama, and not say Yechleiku, the Gemara could have answered, the reason we go Bos Cheskas Marakam is because there's another Chazaka that contradicts the Cheskas Marakam. The Cheskas Meuberes should be an equalizer and it should cancel out the Cheskas Marakam. And therefore we say Yechleiku, even according to the Chachamim. So Taisus answers that wouldn't have been a teretz. The Gemara couldn't have answered that. The reason is because Cheskas Marakama is a more powerful Chazaka than Cheskas Meuberes. So even if we had Cheskas Meuberes, which would push the Vlad into the Lekeach's Rishos, still, since the Meicher has a Cheskas Marakama, that will outweigh the Cheskas Meuberes, and therefore, the Gemara had to say that the mission is going according to Sumchas. According to the Chachamim, Cheskas Marakama would prevail and would give the Vlad to the Meicher, even though there's a Cheskas Meuberes that would work L'chayr in favor of the Lekeach. Now, in the Chayru, we can explain the Sheet of Taisus that Cheskas Marakama is stronger than Cheskas Meuberes based on the Kunchus HaSfeikus in Klal Aleph, Ois Hei. Kunchus HaSfeikus really brings to Mahalchim, he brings to Sheetus, as to understand the lamdas of Cheskes Marakama, how does it work? The first approach is it's a regular chazaka, just like there's Cheskes Mubaris, Cheskes Isser, Cheskes Tara, Cheskes Tuma, any classic chazaka to make kara. So Cheskes Marakama as well is, just like it originally was in his Rishus, we say that it stayed in his Rishus. However, the Kosher Sfeikus brings another mahalach to explain the gedder of Cheskes Marakama. It's not a regular chazak to make kara. We don't learn by momoin from Isser that it has the same gedarim of chazakan. Rather, the idea of Cheskes Marakama is it's really a different form of muhsik. If somebody's holding on to something, so that's of course the most powerful form of muhsik. If somebody's not holding on to something, but he used to be the Bailam, we say that just like he used to be a Bailam, until now, he maintains his Bailas. It's a different, lesser form of Muchsikos. Therefore, when nobody's a Muchsik, we're going to say the Marakama will be the default Muchsik. If we learn that's the Lamdas of Cheskes Marakama, it's a form of Muchsikos, a Cheskes Mamain, in that case, we can easily understand why Cheskes Mubaris against Cheskes Marakama will be sidelined, and we'll go bust the Cheskes Marakama, because the Cheskes Marakama is the form of Muchzik in this case. So it'll make a difference if somebody is going to present a Cheskes Mubaris in his favor against somebody else's Muchzikos, even if it's in the form of Cheskes Marakama, because the one who has Cheskes Marakama is a Muchzik. You want to prove that it belongs to you, you have to come with an absolute proof. A Cheskes Mubaris won't be enough of a proof, just like Rav isn't enough. A Cheskes Mubaris won't be enough to be Moitzi Momin, and therefore the Cheskes Marakama will prevail. However, Tosis continues and says that although we said earlier that according to Somchus, even if somebody is a Muchzik, if he's only tying Shema, we're going to say Cholkin. That's Pshat in the Mishnah of Tzadik Zayin we mentioned earlier. However, if he's coming together with a chazakah such as Cheskes Mubaris as well, he's a muhsik. He's tining Shema, but not only is he a muhsik, he has a chazakah to make kara that backs up his claim, he's going to win with his muhsikos. Tais brings a raya to that from a Gemara in Shor Shanaga Chasapara. We don't have to go through the raya right now. However, Tais has a kash on that. Tais has proved this halacha that he said, that according to Somchus, a muchzik who's only a shema, but he has another chazaka helping him, he's going to be considered a muchzik, and we'll say a mitzvah l'raya. Taisus asks, and that's Tzadik Zayin with Beis, we see not like that. The Mishnah says a case where Reuven lent / rented a para to Shimon. He lent it today and rented it for tomorrow. And we don't know when the para died. The halacha is, if Reuven says, I don't know when the para died, it could be it died on the first day, so it was Shula and Shimon will be Chayiv. It could be it died on the second day, and it was Schur and Shimon will be Potter. And Shimon says he doesn't know when it died either. The halacha is Yachlaiku, and the Gemara says, going according to Somchus. Fractaisvis, Somchus should be Maida over here, that I might smell a raya. True, we said that Somchus says, Cholkin, when the muhsik is tining Shema, but over here, not only is he a muhsik, he also has a chazaka to make kara, as a cheskes chai. And we're going to push off the death of the para until as late as possible. As he has both a muhsik, he has a cheskes mamon. True, it's only a Shema, but he has a chazaka backing it up, and has a cheskes chai. Why does the Mishnah say that according to Somchus that yechleiku? So Taisus answers that when the Mishnah says Yechleiku, it's not going on that case of Shalayim Sochel Mochar. It's going on a different case in the Mishnah. In that case, Anachanami, Somchus will be Maida, that might be Chavel Varaya. However, the Shmaitza gives a different tarot. It's a beautiful chap. The Shmaitza explains that true, by Shalayim Sochel Mochar, we're going to say that he has a Cheskes Chai, and that should push off the death of the Parah until the time that it was Schur, until it was rented. Nevertheless, the Seicher / Shayel does not have a Cheskes Mamon. That's because the Shmaitza says that we already spoke about this earlier in the Perek. There's a Machlaikis, how to understand the getter of the chiyuv of a shoyl towards the mashal. We discuss what's the halacha if a person says safek meisa machas malacha. He doesn't know if he died machas malacha. So if we understand the shoyl is chayiv only by shas ha-pshia or b'shas ha-misa, so meil is any yedem nishayavti. He was never chayiv. And therefore, it could be he became chayiv at the point of the misa. Could be not. Meilo, it's any day of nischayav. They don't know if I was ever nischayav. And meilo will be potter. However, there are rishonim that learn. It's actually most rishonim, most of the Paiskim Paskin, that a person cannot say safek meisam achas malacha. Why? Because the second ishayel takes a potter, he's chayav. He's chayav to return it. He could be potter with a time of meisam achas malacha, but until he's certain, if he says safek meisam achas malacha, it's going to be chayiv, because it's a case of any day in praticha. The shayla was nischayiv immediately upon taking the parah. He has to return to the bayil. It could be he became potter if it was meis nimachas malacha. Since he's not certain, the halacha will be his chayiv. If you understand the gedra of the chayiv of the shayla, that he's nischayiv immediately upon taking the parah, in such a case, we can't say that the shayla has a cheskas mamain together with a cheskas chay. He has a cheskas chay that says that he's potter, but there's no cheskas mamain. He was nischayv immediately. It's a case of any day in praticha, and therefore we don't say there's a cheskas mamon together with a cheskas chay. And in reverse, says the Shmaita, the same idea. If he rented it first and he was shalo lemachar, so true, he has a cheskas mamon, he has a cheskas ptur, because it's any day in nischayavti. Nevertheless, there's no cheskas chay to help the seicher, because the cheskas chay in fact says that the seicher is going to be chayiv as it died when it was in the status of a she'ula, as it died the next day. Therefore, the Shmaitza says, it's very pashut why, according to Sumchas, we're going to say achloiku, as we can never really put the cheskas chay together with the cheskas mamon. Alright, that's Tosfos. Now, when we take a look at the Rambam, how he paskins this halacha, it's incredibly confusing, and the Chreinim work very hard to explain Shitas Rambam. The Rambam paskins in Perek Chof Halacha Yud of Hilchos Mechira like this: Hamachlif Pora B'Chamor V'Yolda. The case of the Mishnah, the Meicher says that it gave birth before the transaction. The Lekech says the birth was after the Kenyan. So the Rambam says Afilu Omer HaMeicher Ein Yedei. Even if the Meicher says I don't know, the Meicher is a Shema. Al Lekech Lavi Raya. Lekech has to prove that it was born as Rishos. Even though the parah is standing in an agam and the meicher is not a muchzik, nevertheless, harein mecheskas ha-meicher ad shiovia lekeach raya. It's mecheskas the meicher until the lekeach brings a raya. So far, so good. Halacha Yud Aleph. Zeimer ein yedeh, v'zeimer ein yedeh. The meicher says, I don't know if it was born in Marishos or in Lekeach Rishos. Lekeach says, I don't know at what point it was born. In a case where it's the ein b'shus achas man, if it's not in the rishus of anyone, nobody's a muchzik, yachloiku. The halacha is they split it. The Rambam passes, if they're both shema, the halacha is yachloiku. Anybody who looks at this Rambam, l'chayr is bewildered. There are two peldik akashas on this Rambam. First of all, that the Rambam paskins, if the meicher says ein yedeh and the lekeach says ein yedeh, the Rambam paskins yachloiku, that goes according to Sumchas. The halacha we passing like the chachamim that amaisim mechaver el varaya. We don't pass going on with the basav v'chalkin. If that's the case, why do we say that yachloiku when the meicher lekech ein yedeh? The meicher definitely has cheskas marakama. It's come out in mefurish in our sugya that if we're not going according to Sumchas, we clearly paskin that the meicher keeps the vlad because he has cheskas marakama. Now the second kasha that's a plea on the Rambam is the Rambam and halacha Yud Aleph, as we said, paskins that if they're both Shema, and it's not in the rishus of anyone, nobody's a muchzik yachloiku. In halacha Yud, the halacha right before that, the Rambam paskins that if the meicher says actually mechalti yolda, it gave birth before I sold it, and the lekech says mishalakachti yolda, it gave birth only after I bought it, and the Rambam says I feel omer meicher ain't yedeh. The meicher says I taka don't know. He's a shema. It could be it was born after it was sold. Nevertheless, al lekech lavi raya, and the meicher doesn't lose his muchzikos. And more than that, af bishapara meant this ba'agam. Even if the parah is standing in an agam, Harein mecheskes a meicher at shiavi al keach raya. Ad kdei kach, even with a meicher is a shema. And it's not a muchzik. It's ba'agam, nevertheless, the meicher wins out because of the marakama. And that's a case where the meicher is a shema and the lekeach is a bari. Still, it's mecheskes a meicher. So how could the Rambam one line later write, if they're both shema, then yachloiku. The Rambam says even when the lekeach is a bari and the meicher is a shema, the meicher wins out. How could the next line the Rambam write that you're going to say achloiku in a case where they're both shema, even lekeach is a shema, still achloiku, it's mamash astir teich deidibur. How do we explain this Rambam? Now there are different mahalchim in the Nisi Kalim, in the Rishonim, the Achronim, how to explain the Rambam. Obviously we can't go through all the different mahalchim. The Sma and the Bach say a similar mahalch. They explain when the Rambam writes that it's becheskas the meicher, even when he's tining shema, the Rambam over there means to say that it's in his rishus. That's why even a shema works, because he's a muchzik. The Rambam writes afterwards, you have to like split the Rambam's words and say, even if it's in the agam, the Rambam says it's becheskas meicher. That's talking about, that part of the Rambam is talking about only if he's tining bari. So there's really two halachas. If it's in his rishus, he could say a shema, he's going to be muchzik. If he says bari, in such a case, even if it's in the agam, that also gives him muchzikos, and it's going to be rishus hamaychar. If, as Rambam is talking about in halach yud aleph, it's not in his rishus, and he's tining shema, there's a double negative, he's a shema, and he's not a physical muchzik, in such a case, we say yachloiku. So that answers the stira also from halach yud to halach yud aleph. And halach yud, the Rambam holds that it goes to the meicher because he's either a muchzik physically, it's in his rishus, even if he's tining shema, or he's saying at least bari, even though it's in a nagam, but he's still considered a muchzik. And halach yud aleph, it's talking about he's both a shema and he's not a muchzik. In such a case, we'll say achleikum. But we have to still understand the first question that we asked. Why would the Rambam say, even in the case of shema v'shema in a agam, yachleikum? That goes according to Sumchus. According to the Chachamim, we should say that Hamaitzim Echarel Arai, he has a Cheskes Marakam. Why does the Rambam paskin like Sumchus? The Rambam paskins in Hilchas Niske Mama in like the Chachamim. We say Hamaitzim Echarel Arai. So even by Hashem of Hashem and it's in the Agam, we should not say Yachleiku, rather we should say Hamaitzim Echarel Arai and the Maicha should keep the Vlad. So the Bach explains that the Rambam paskins, if it's in the Agam, and Shema v'Shema, we say Yachloiku. That's because Rambam holds there's no machloikus in such a case between the Chachamim and Sumchus. In such a case where it's in the Agam and it's a Shema v'Shema, according to everybody, we're going to say Yachloiku. That's what the Gemara said, Homani Sumchusi. That's talking about a case where it's Becheskas the Meicher. The Rambam disagrees with Taisus. Taisus, we mentioned earlier, says, since the Gemara doesn't say Elo Hamani Sumchasi, the Gemara doesn't say a lashon of Elo. It's mashma the Gemara stayed with the first teretz that it's in the Agam. Still, the Gemara asks, why don't we say Cheskes Marakam? To that, the Gemara answers, it's going according to Sumchas. But the Gemara didn't backtrack from the original teretz that said in the Agam. Because according to Taisus, if it wasn't in the Agam, it was in the Shus of the Meicher, even Sumchas would be Maida that Hamaitzim Echever El Varayah. If it's an agam there, Sumchas Nachom argue whether they're going to say Ego Basar Marakama. That's Taisus. However, the Rambam argues on that assertion. The Rambam understands when the Gemara said Homani Sumchasi, it's going in a case where it's in the Rishus of the Meicher. It's not an agam. If it was an agam, even according to the Chachamim, we'd say Achloiku. When the Gemara says Homani Sumchasi, it's as if the Gemara said Elo Homani Sumchasi. We backtracked from what the Teretz was before that took when it's an agam. It's not an agam. It's in the rishus of the meicher. Therefore, the Gemara says, "Hamani sumchasi." Only according to sumchas do we say that even if it's in the rishus of the meicher, nevertheless, we're going to say "Momen amutah b'savik cholkin." According to the chachamim, if it's in the rishus of the meicher, we say "Maitzim mechaver al varaya." But if it's in an agam and it's a shema, according to everybody, we're going to say that yachloiku. Even according to the chachamim, the reason the Gemara said "Hamani sumchasi" and didn't say it's talking about it's in the Agam and it's going according to everybody, even according to the Chachamim, and it's talking about Hashem of Hashem, the Goyin explains because the Mishnah is Bepash is talking about it, it's Becheskas, the Meicher. It's not sitting in an Agam. The Gemara would prefer to go away from that Teretz and say it's going according to Sumchas, and even if it's in the Rishus of the meicher, since he's tithing shema, the halacha will be achleiku. So we have machleikus, the Rambam and Taisvis, as to what's the point of a contention between Sumchas and the Chachamim. According to Taisvis, the machleikus between Sumchas and Chachamim is, if it's an agam, if it's Bershus HaMeicher, even Sumchas will be Maida that will say, HaMeitzim HaMeir El Varaya. However, Taisvis asked the kasha on that. We saw from the Mishnah of Tzadik Zayin that even when the person, the Seicher, the Shayel, is a Muchzik, we say Achleiku according to Sumchas. So Taisvis had to differentiate between whether he's a Bori or a Shema. Taisvis really asked another kasha on that. Taisvis proves from Baba Kama that even if he's a muchzik and a bari, we say achleiku. Taisa doesn't really give a teres to that. Akhoparam Sumchas holds the achleiku either if he's not a muchzik or he's a muchzik and a shema. And the Chachamim argue and they say, whatever the case is, we always say Meitzim Mechamer El Varayim. Even by an agam, even by a shema. However, the Rambam argues, he learns the point of contention between Sumchas and the Chachamim is only when it's in the Rishus of the Meicher, only when he's a muchzik in a case where it's in an agam, and they're both saying shema, so there's no more akama. In such a case, the Chachamim are made to Sumchas that we say yachleiku. That's the Bach's Mahalach and the Rambam, the Bach and the Vilna Gaon. However, the Shmaitza has another teretz to explain the Rambam, a very sharp Mahalach. In Shmaitza Dalet Perek Yud Beis, the Shmaitza explains the reason the Rambam paskins that if they're both a Shema and an Agam, we say Yachloiku, even though it's clear in our sugya that according to the Chum, then that's how we paskin, it should be that we go Basim Arakama, as the Magid Mishnah and all the Nesek Hillel mask. The Shmaitza says as follows. He brings Taisa as the Kasha. Why does the Gemara understand so posh it that we go Basim Arakama? I think Gemara asks, why do we say Yachleiku? It should for sure go to the Meicher, because as Cheskas Marakama asks Taisvis, here there's a Cheskas Mu'uberis that contradicts the Cheskas Marakama. True, the Cheskas Marakama says that it was born before the sale, and therefore belongs to the Meicher. The Cheskas Mu'uberis is a Chazok in the Meikar. It's a Cheskas Aguf that says that the pregnancy carried on as long as possible, and therefore it was born only after the sale. So maybe that's the reason we don't say Ego Basar Marakama. That's the reason we say Achleiku. What's the Gemara's Kasha? So Taisus answered that Cheskas Marakama is stronger than Cheskas Mu'uberis. We explained earlier in the Shir, the reason Cheskas Marakama is stronger than Cheskas Mu'uberis is because Cheskas Marakama, according to Taisus, is a secondary type of Cheskas Mamin. It's not a Cheskas Aguf, like Chazaka the Meikar, like other Chazakas. Rather, it's a subsidiary of the halacha of Cheskas Mamon of Amoitz Mechar Velaraya. If somebody's physically Mochsak, that's a very strong Mochsakos. If he's just a Marakama, it's a secondary type of Mochsakos, but it's a halacha and a Cheskas Mamon as well, and therefore that will supersede any kind of other Chazaka that's just a regular Chazaka of Cheskas Uberes or Cheskas Aguf, which is just a Chazaka the Meikara. However, the Shmaitza does not accept that. The Shmaitza understands, like the other Mahalach that the Kuntres HaSfeikas brings, that Cheskas Marakama works as a regular Chazaka de Meikar. It's not a Cheskas Mamon. According to that, I asked the Shmaitza, why does Taisus understand that Cheskas Marakama takes precedence over Cheskas Mu'uberis? So the Shmaitza has a totally different approach. The Shmaitza explains, the reason Taisus over here understands that Cheskas Marakama is stronger than a Cheskas Mu'uberis, not because Cheskas Marakama is any stronger as a Chazaka. Rather, here it's a Tartu L'Reyesa. We find this idea in Nida Daf Beis, we find it in Kiddushin, we find it in Mechulin, Daf Yud. We find this in several places in Shas, the idea when you have a Chazaka versus another Chazaka. But there is Harei Areyesa Lufanecha. In such a case, the Tartu L'Reyesa wins over the one Chazaka that it contradicts. A classic mashal. Somebody toivel, he was telling me, he had to toivel to retire himself. The mikveh definitely was originally a shear of 40 saw. Now, they measure this mikveh after the person toiveled, and they see it's missing something. It's not a kosher mikveh. The question is, when he toiveled, was it considered a kosher mikveh, or was it not? So really, there are chazakas in play here. There's a cheskas tum of the person who was tame, that should really dictate that the mikveh wasn't a kosher mikveh when he toiveled. However, the chazak the meikar of the mikvah would dictate that the mikvah was actually kosher b'shas tefillah. That's what the chazaka me'ikara does. So we have contradicting chazakas. So the idea of tarta l'reis is we say, true, there is a chazaka me'ikara of the mikvah that it was kosher. However, there's a reis in front of you. Now we see the mikvah is 39 saw, not 40 saw. In such a case, we'll say b'tziruf, the chazaka, the hashta of the mikvah, and the cheskas tumah of the person, we're going to use those two chazakas to overpower the chazak to meikar of the mikvah, and therefore the person is going to be tamei. Now, chazaka the hashta against the chazak to meikar is not considered an equal contradiction of chazakas. Chazak to meikar is always stronger than chazaka the hashta. However, when chazaka the hashta gets charged by another chazaka, in this case, let's say the cheskas tumah of the person, we say the tarta l'reis takes precedence, and therefore it's going to overpower the chazaka de me'ikara of the mikvah. Says the Shmaitza, the reason our Gemara holds that the cheskas mara kama of the meicher is going to take precedence over the cheskas mu'uberis of the mother behema, that's only because there's a tachlis reis over here. That's what Tosfos means. There's a cheskas marakama. True, there's a cheskas mu'uberis against that cheskas marakama that says it belongs to the lekeach. However, together with the cheskas marakama, there's also a reyul de lefanecha. There's a chazaka de hashta that pushes back against the cheskas marakama and actually says that the vlad was born before the kinyan transpired. Therefore, Tosfos holds that cheskas marakama is stronger than cheskas mu'uberis, and that's why the Gemara understands. According to the Chacham, we'll have to go boser cheskas marakama, and it will belong to the Meicher. As the Shmaitz of the Rambam l'shitosli in Hilchos Trumos paskins that the idea of tachlis reis only creates a suffix. It doesn't create a vaday. The Rambam paskins, if somebody had a chavis of wine, it was mafresh truma from that chavis, and then he realized it was chaymetz, it was spoiled afterwards, he couldn't be mafresh from that. The question is the truma a truma or not? There's a cheskas tevel of the wine, which contradicts the chazaka de meikar, that the wine at one point definitely was good. But since the cheskas tevel is also boosted by the harei chaymetz lefanecha, memeila, you have a tartal reisa. In that case, tell the Rambam paskins it's suffix. It's not vadei tevel, it's only suffix. Now, there's a sugya in Baba Basra, in Hamoichers Asvina, that holds that it will have a din of a suffix. The Rambam bases a psak based on that sugi according to the Kesef of Mishnah, although there's a sugi in Nida that we mentioned that holds tartar reis has a din of a vadai. In the case where we mentioned a person went into a mikvah and it's a suffix, whether it was sholem or chaser when he toivled, it's mashman Nida that he's a tamei vadai. He's not a suffix, and the reason is tartar reis is a vadai. Nevertheless, the Rambam paskins against the sugi in Nida according to the Kesef of Mishnah because he has a sugi in Baba Basra that understands that tartar reis is only a suffix. Therefore, the Shmaitza explains, our sugi that understands that cheskas marakama would overpower the cheskas mu'uberis and therefore cause the halacha to be that the vlad goes to the meicher, that's because our sugi and daf kuf is going in tandem with the sugi and the daf beis, the tachlis reis is a vadai. So therefore, since we have a cheskas marakama together with a harayol d'lefanecha, we're going to say it's definitely going to be in the Rishos of the Meicher, and that's why the Gemara asks such a pshitas, go bosach cheskas marakama. However, the Rambam paskins, like the sugya in Baba Basra and Perakas Svina, the tartar reis is only a suffix, even if though you have cheskas marakama together with the cheskas hariyod lefanecha against the cheskas muberes, nevertheless, that only has a din of a suffix, it's not a din of a vada. If it has a din of a suffix, meila, the halacha will be achloiku, even according to the chachamim, as nobody's a muchzik on it, and each side has a chazaka pulling in their favor. That's the Shmaitz Mahalach to answer Shitas HaRambam. There's another Mahalach that I wanted to mention, a beautiful Mahalach from Reb Chaim. It's in the Svarim that they printed, Reb Chaim Shurim of Metzia. Reb Zalman and Eben Ezel also writes a similar Mahalach. They too go to Tosfos's Kasha, who just mentioned, to explain Shitas HaRambam. Tosfos asks, why does Gemara understand you go baser cheskas marakama and say the vlad should go to the meicher? Why don't we say there's a cheskas muberis in favor of the lekeach? As cheskas muberis is a classic cheskas aguf that says push off the leida as late as possible, and therefore say that the vlad belongs to the lekeach. So Taisa's answer is cheskas marakama is stronger. And we already said two different explanations. We said from the Shmaitza, the reason cheskas muberis is stronger is because there's really a tartar l'reisa. We mentioned earlier that the reason Cheskes Muberes is not as strong as Cheskes Marakam is because Cheskes Muberes is a regular Cheskes Aguf, a classic case of a Chazaka, whereas Cheskes Marakam is really a Cheskes Mamon, which always takes precedence over a regular Cheskes Aguf, a regular Chazaka the Meikar. Now, Reb Chaim uses that svara that Cheskes Marakama is a more powerful Chazaka because he's really considered a Muchzik that way, and therefore Cheskes Marakama will outweigh Cheskes Muberes. Reb Chaim says that that's only provided that we can consider him a Muchzik. Cheskes Marakama says he's the Bailam, but it has to be working in tandem with some sort of a Muchzikos. Because he's a Marakama, and now it's possible to say he's considered a Muchzik, so Mele is going to be considered a Muchzik. L'mashal, if the Vlad is an Agam, that's something that we can say that it's B'Muchzikos of the Meicher. Reb Chaim bases this idea on a Gemara on Ksubas Daf Peidal. The Mishnah talks about over the year somebody who died and he left over a woman, a wife, who he has to pay her ksuba, Bal Chayiv, and Yarshin. Several people have claims to his money. So there are different dinim, different cases. However, the Mishnah says, if he left Metaldlin, Hiniach Paris Lusham in Akarka, if he left Paris on the ground, Kalakadim Manzach, whoever grabs it, either the wife takes it for her ksuba, or the Bal Chayiv takes it for his Chayiv, or the Yarshin grab it, whoever grabs it first has rights to it. There's different cases, different cheetahs, but that's one of the halachas in the Mishnah. The Gemara asks, what's the case? Where are those payers that whoever grabs it has a right to it? Why don't we say the Yarshin were zeichin it immediately upon the death of the father? So the Gemara answers that Rabban Shmuel both say it's talking about that it's svurnu munachin b'shus Rabban. The reason the Yarshin weren't zeichin these payers because the payers are piled in b'shus Rabban. Now, b'sim to loif, it's an asimta. In such a case, the Yarshin actually were zeichin it and nobody can lay their hands and lay claim on those payers. And Rashi explains, in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the Yarshim weren't zayich in it. But in the Simta, since it's a Mokom Meroi LeKinyan, it's a place where a person can make a Maisa Kinyan Mashiacha, that's not a Mokom Hefker. And the Yarshim weren't zayich in it, B'Shas Misa. In the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, we can't say that it's considered their Muchzik in it, and therefore the Baal Chayiv or the Ishabik Subasa have a right to grab those Peiris of Metaltla. As the Yarshim were not considered they were Machzik in it yet. In the Simt, it's as if they were machzik in it, they're muchzakim in it. It's somebody who takes away those payers from the Simt as if he took it away from the payers that were in their house already. Says Reb Chaim and Reb Zalman, that's really what's going on over here in the Rambam. We originally asked two kashas on the Rambam. First of all, the Rambam was Saiser himself, and Halach Yud, it's mashma that it goes to the Meicher, where they're both saying Shema. And it's not in anyone's rishos. And in Halach Yud Aleph, the Rambam writes clearly that if they're both Shema, and it's not in anybody's rishos, that it goes to the lekeach and meicher equally yachleiku. Chayer it's a pasha d'stira. And also the simple kasha: how could the Rambam pass me yachleiku? We pass like tachom that must be mechmer alvaraya, not like sumchas. So Reb Chaim explains the two halachos in the Rambam are talking about two different cases. In Halach Yud, where the Rambam writes that if the Meicher says, any idea, Afa Pisha Paro, he meant this Ba'agam, Vashivcha, he meant this Besimta, Hareyim Cheskes HaMeicher, Atshir Elikeach Raya, the Rambam Paskins, that it goes to the Meicher, even if the Meicher is a Sufik, Koshkin, if he's a Bari, even if it's an Agam, it's not in the Rishus of the Meicher, that's because it's in an Agam. The Rambam meant Dafka, an Agam, where we could consider him a Muchzik. True, he's not a muchzik because he's not holding his rishus. Nevertheless, Taisa says that Cheskes Marakama makes him a quasi muchzik. It creates a situation where if it's in a place where he can be considered a muchzik, even though he's not factually a muchzik, but since he's a Marakama, it has the qualities of a Cheskes Momin. As long as it's shaykh to say he's considered a muchzik, as long as it's in a simta, an agam is a simta, it's a rishus, it's not a rishus or rabbim, a place where a person can do mashicha. Since it's in an agam and the like, Mela, like the Gemara Ksuba says, that the Yarshamar muchzak in something that's in a simta. Likewise, over here, because of the cheskas marakama that he has, he can be considered a muchzak as long as it's sitting in a simta. The cheskas marakama creates a situation where he is considered a muchzak al kolpanim enough to outweigh the claim of the lekech. Some ches argue, some ches holds, since lemaisa he's not a real muchzak, or however you want to learn. The machleg is between Sumchas and the Chachamim, but Kaponim, in such a case, Sumchas holds, he's not going to be considered enough of a muchzik to say Hametz Mechavil Arai, and therefore you say Chalken. That's only if it's in a simta, which is shaykh to be considered that he's a muchzik in it. However, in a case where it's in a Rishus HaRabbit, where there's no way to say that he's considered a muchzik in it, Tarab Chaim wants to say the Halacha and Halacha Yud Alef is talking about, Zeh Oymarini Yodea. It's not in anybody's rishus, and it's not talking about a simta either. There is no way anybody could claim muchzakos to it. Therefore, in a case where we have a suffix, so true, the meicher is cheskas marakama, but the lekeach has his taisus asserts in his kasha a cheskas mu'ubaris on his side. It's a clear suffix. There are two contradictory classic chazakas, cheskas mu'ubaris on one side, a regular cheskas aguf, which is a classic chazak to meikara, and cheskas marakama on the other side, which is also a classic chazak to meikara, but it's not a cheskas marakama with the qualities of a cheskas mamayim. Because it's not in the Rishus HaRabim, he's not a real muchzik on that, and he can't be considered a muchzik if it's in the Rishus HaRabim. It doesn't make a muchzikos through the cheskas marakama, because lemaisa, it cannot translate into be considered becheskosai, as it's in a place that nobody can be considered a muchzik in it, as we saw in Ksuba Staf Pei Dalet. Therefore, in such a case, it'll be as Tosfos asks in his kasha. Why don't we say cheskas mu'ubaris against cheskas marakama? And here you don't have the maila that cheskas marakama is stronger, as Tosfos answers, because it's not stronger. The only reason cheskas marakama is stronger is because it can create a situation where he has the maila of being a muchzik. If it's in the simta, we'll say, okay, he has a marakama, and we can consider him a muchzik in the simta. So a maila, he's going to be considered as he has a cheskas mamon, which is stronger than a cheskas mu'ubaris. But in the case where it's in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which Reb Chaim asserts, that's what the Rambam is talking about in Halacha Yud Aleph. There's no chazaka to anybody that can translate into a cheskas mamon. Rather, it's just regular, classic chazaka to mikaros that contradict each other. In such a case, it'll be a suffix. And even the chachamim might as Tosfos asked in his kasha. Let's say the chachamim might that you don't go by cheskas marakama because there's a cheskas mu'ubaris against it. And over here, we don't have Tosfos teres. It's tukmeres in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Therefore, the cheskas marakama won't be any stronger than the cheskas mu'ubaris. And therefore, the chachamim would also be maida that yachloiko. Now, we just spent a lot of time trying to explain shit to the Rambam. L'maisa, there is a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, two days are brought as to what's the halacha in a case where it's a shema v'shema and it's not b'cheskas anybody. The Torah and many other Rishonim hold that, of course, the halacha will be like the Chachamim, that a maisa mechaver l'varayim will go b'asra cheskas marakama. And then the Shulchan Aruch brings the shita to Rambam, and as we explain different mahalchim to understand why the Rambam holds that even according to the Chachamim, we'll say achloiku in such a case. Now, let's move on towards the bottom of Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, "Hamoicher zeisov la'itzim osu pochus merviyah." Somebody sells his olive trees so the person can knock it down, obviously in a case where it's mutter. And he's supposed to chop it down right away, but he didn't. He took his time, and meanwhile, zeisim grew. So the Mishnah says, regarding who keeps these zeisim, so the Baal ha-zeisim, the person who owns the tree, says, listen, my tree grew the zeisim, and the Baal ha-karka says, it's from my karka that the tree was yainik, that it got its power to produce zeisim. So the Mishnah says, if they made a small amount, less than a revius l'sa, a different pshat than what that means. Rashi understands that the zeisim are very bad, that they won't even produce a revius of shemen from a saw of zeisim. Whatever the case is, the Mishnah says, "Arei shel bala zeisim." It's such a minute amount, nobody really cares about it, so it stays by the bala zeisim, the bala karka is meichlet. However, if it makes a revius for a saw, so they're already arguing. The Balakarka says it's my karka that caused it to grow. The Balazesim, the one who owns the tree, says it's my trees that caused it to grow. Then the Mishnah says another case where there's an argument between the Balakarka and the Balazesim. What happens if Shatef Nor Zesov, a river came, washed away the trees from somebody's field and planted it in somebody else's field? So the Baal Hasada says my field caused the Zesim to grow. The Baal Ilonai says my trees caused the olives to grow. The Mishnah says, Yachlaiku, the Ritva says, it's mashma over here, even if it's less than a revius. I think Mora asks a kasha on this. What's the case where we say that less than a revius, it goes to the Baal HaZeisim. If it's more than a revius, I split it. If the Baal HaKarka said, chop the trees down immediately, I don't want it in my land, afilu pachas m'revius nami l'Baal HaKarka, even if it's less than a revius, the Zeisim should go to the Baal HaKarka. And the Gemara is then asked, if you're going to tell me, it's talking about a case where the Baal HaKarka told the Baal HaZeisim, cut it whatever you'd like. So in that case, even if it's more than a revius, it should go to the Baal HaZeisim. So the Gemara answers, it's talking about Bistama. He didn't say anything, so therefore less than a revius, the Baal HaKarka is not makbid, he's moichlet, he's mevatarin it to the Baal HaZeisim. If it's more than that already, he wants his fair share, and therefore they split it. When the Gemara says, either amalei koitz la'alter, if he told him to chop it down immediately, afilu pachas m'revius nami l'Baal HaKarka, even less than a revius should go to the Baal HaKarka, ask the Rashba, why would we say that? Why shouldn't the Baal HaZeisim, why shouldn't the person who owns the tree also get at least half? Why does the Gemara understand that it goes entirely to the Baal HaKarka? So the Rashba really learns that the Kavana and the Gemara's kasha is when the Gemara says, if he told him chop it down immediately, even less than a revius goes to the Baal HaKarka, it doesn't mean that it goes to the Baal HaKarka exclusively. Rather, it means he gets his fair share, he gets half. And of course, the Baal HaZeis will get half as well, because his trees also are part of the mechanism that created the Zeisim. However, the Rambam understands the Gemara at face value, when the Gemara says, if he told him to chop it down immediately and the Baal HaZeisim didn't chop it down, even less than a revius, everything goes to the Baal HaKarka. Kalshkin, if it's more than a revius. The question is why? What's the svara in that? Why should we say that the Baal HaKarka keeps everything? The Chavar of the Baal HaZeis is also part of the team, so to speak, that created the Zeisim. Now, the Magid Mishnah is medayik, like the Rambam, from the Lashon of the Gemara. It says, afilu pachas m'revius nami l'Baal HaKarka. Even if it's less than a revius, it should go to the Baal HaKarka. And Magnus says, why does the Gemara have to say the Baal HaKarka? The Gemara should have said, afilu pachas m'revius nami. That less than a revius should have to do more than a revius, they should split it. If the Gemara says the Baal HaKarka, the Gemara adds those two words, it's mashma to the Baal HaKarka exclusively. Because if it's just to tell me that we split it in half, the Gemara could have just said that even less than a revius should have a din of a revius. Why do the Gemara have to add these two words to the Baal HaKarka? It's muchach, like the Rambam, that the Gemara understands that if he said chop it down immediately and the Baal HaZeis left it there, he'll actually have to give all the Zeisim to the Baal HaKarka. Magid Mishnah already deals with this diuk according to the Rash, but it's Nishkeferlo. He says that the reason the Gemara said the words the Baal HaKarka is because the next piece of the Gemara continued. Now, if we're talking about in the Mishnah that the Baal HaKarka told the Baal HaZeisim leave there as long as you'd like, so then the Zeisim should go to the Baal HaZeis, to the one who owns the tree. So because the Gemara in the second part of the Kasha asked that it should go to the one who owns the tree, the Gemara asked in the first part of the Kasha it should go to the Baal HaKarka. The Gemara mentioned the Baal HaKarka, but the Gemara does not mean exclusively. Al Kapanim, the Pashas Mashmos of the Gemara is like the Rambam. Al Kapanim, the Gemara might be Meduyik like the Rambam, but what do you do with the Svara that the Rashba presented in his argument against the Rambam? It's very mistaber that they should both get a Chelek and the Zeisim, because they're both part owners of the materials that formed these Zeisim. Rabbi Zalman Evan Ezel writes that the Rambam holds that the taina of Zeis HaGadol, that my olive trees were partial cause of these olives to grow, they only works when the Baal HaZeis has permission to keep the trees there. However, if he has no permission to keep it there, the Rambam understands that he doesn't have a schus to say Zeis HaGadol. Obviously, the Rambam holds the Ikur Yinikas from the Karka. The Zeisim, the trees, are also conduits to bring the Yanika from the ground, but the Iker force that creates these Zeisim are the Karka, and therefore if the Baal HaZeisim doesn't have any right to keep the Zeisim, to keep the trees there, he won't get a Chelek of the olives. The Ebn Ezel really says the Rambam is Lashitosai and the Rashba is Beshita Zeisus, because really on the next Omud, the Gemara explains in the case of Shatav Nar Zeisav that it was Nekru B'Gushayin, it was ripped out of the ground with the earth around the roots, so therefore going to split it between the Baal HaKarka and the Baal HaZeisim, it says in the Mishnah. Taisus explains the reason you need Nekru B'Gushayin, that the earth, the roots were covered with solid ground around it, because if not, it would be Arla. However, the Rambam argues, the Rambam holds that if it was ripped out without the Gushayin, without the dirt around the roots, the pears would go entirely to the Baal HaKarka. What would we do with Arla? The Nisa Kelim already explained different ways to avoid the Isser Arla. But the Rambam learns in the Gemara that if it was planted in the Baal Sadeh's field without his permission, and there weren't gushayin of the roots covering it, it would go entirely to the Baal Sadeh, because a tree that's planted in the Sadeh without permission of the Baal Sadeh, the payers go entirely to the owner. If there are gushayin around the roots, so the Baal Ilon is a quasi Baal Sadeh, because it can actually grow from the yanika of the earth that's around the roots. But if there's no earth around there, the yanika is entirely from the Sadeh. The Rambam L'Shitasai holds that will go entirely to the Baal Sadeh. We have to explain that Shitas HaRambam is that the primary force of something growing is the ground. The Baal Karka is the Ikar Baalam. And therefore, if the Baal Ilan doesn't have a shush to keep his trees there, it will go entirely to the Baal Karka. Nevertheless, where the Baal Karka was maskim, the umdan is, the svara is that he let him keep half, they'll split it 50-50. Because otherwise, you have to understand what's the difference. If he gave him permission to put it there still, it should go entirely to the Baal Karka. You have to say that the umdan is that he's intention was to allow him to keep half when he allowed him to keep the ilan there. You have to say this kind of svara later on in the Gemara as well. The Gemara says, "Idam alei kol emes de bois kites." Whenever you'd like to, you could chop the trees down. Afilu revias nami lebalazesim. Then even if it's more than revias, it should go to the balazesim. The question is, why should it go entirely to the balazesim? The balakarka has a chelik in the zesim as well. Elama, the Gemara is touching on what the umdan is, what he meant. Of course, if he was Makbid, he could say, I want all the Zaysim. But when he says, you can cut it down whenever you'd like, the general umdana is that he meant that you can keep the pears until you chop the trees down. So likewise, when the Balabayas is not Makbid about the Baal Elon keeping his trees there, we assume that by Stoma, he's willing to acquiesce him to keep half of the pears, although technically he is the primary cause of the pears and really has a bigger schos than the pears.